Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, I want to ask you a heavy question this morning. I want to ask you, what would you do if someone you loved went missing? What would you do if your child was lost? You'd do anything, right? You'd do everything. You wouldn't stop. You'd start searching. You'd do anything and everything that you could. Paul and I have some friends from our college days who a week ago, last year, were in the middle of that question. Their son was lost. He was missing. They couldn't find him. And they did everything. They searched high and low. They got every friend they had. Their church rallied and was looking. The authorities were looking. People from other places came and helped them looking for weeks. They searched and they looked and they stopped at nothing. It was the worst time they've ever been through until the day that they found him. It's a heavy question, a heavy place to ask you to be. The reason I ask it is because God, the Father of everyone who's ever been created, has children who are lost. Children who have wandered away and are missing. And God feels as much and more about every single one of those children as you do about your own. And he went looking. Jesus left his home. And he did go out into the highways and the byways and the fields and the forest and the cities. He left heaven and he came to earth on a rescue mission to find and to save his children who are lost. We're about to enter into a season called Awaken. And that's what Awaken Wichita Falls is all about. The preacher who first started this, who I learned about it from, had been leading his church through a season of prayer and fasting. And one morning he was praying over his sons, and he just felt the Lord ask him, what would you do if one of these sons was missing? And his answer to the Lord was, I will do anything. I would do anything, and I would not stop until I had found them. And the Lord said to him, I have children who are missing, and the church has quit looking. I want you to wake your church up. And that was the beginning of Awaken. And they led Awaken in their city and had multiple churches involved and prayed for all of the people in Nashville, Tennessee. Been doing that for several years now. And they began to share that, and I heard about it, and you got to participate along with Welch Street last year as we prayed and fasted over eight people that we identified, that we cared about, that we knew were lost, and we wanted them to be found by God. And we spent that 30 days doing that. And as soon as that was over, I began to pray and ask God, I want to pray for our whole city. I want to pray for every single person in Wichita Falls. God, would you make that happen? And so I just invited the other preachers that I had a personal relationship with, and I said, would you come to lunch at 10th and Broad and let me share this with you? And thankfully, they were excited about this, and they said, yeah, we want to get on board. And I said, okay, the first thing you need to do is go find the other preachers or church leaders that you have a relationship with, and we'll come back next week and let's do this again. And we did that about 5 or 6 times and shared that with a number of folks throughout Wichita Falls. And I'm so thankful and so excited that God has answered that prayer that I had for him. And he's gathered 8 other churches alongside of us. And he has made it possible that as we all participate, we will be able to pray for the 31,000 plus households in Wichita Falls by name. We will pray and we will fast over each of them by name for 30 days. And I'm so, so thankful for that. And I just, as I was thinking about that, I thought, well, let me look back, because even though you're in the middle of something, sometimes it's you forget all of what God is doing. Am I the only one who does that? Kind of gets blind and forgets and doesn't see how active God is in my life. And so I was thinking, okay, what about those 8 people that I prayed for last year? What has God done? And I was so excited to start thinking through that, because you may or may not remember, but before Awaken even started, God gave me what I called the first fruits, because I had a neighbor before Awaken who had even started, but he was already, I knew he was going to be on my list, and I was praying for him. And one day at his place, as I was about to leave, he just stopped me and he said, can we talk a minute? And he said, Ken, I have been in church my whole life, but I feel like I've lost my relationship with God. How do I get that back? Can you help me? And I love that question. And so he and I for the last year have met together every Thursday morning. And he had been in church his whole life, but he had never read the Bible. And so we just started in Matthew, and he would read and we would get together and he would share with me thoughts that he had, things that he was thinking. He would ask questions. And the most wonderful part of that relationship was to watch him literally on a weekly basis put into practice what Jesus was teaching him in Matthew. And just this Thursday, we met together again, and he looked at me and he said, Ken, I don't think we're going to have to meet together every week. And I said, oh, why not? And he said, well, he goes to church in Henrietta. He said, the church I'm with, he said, there's a group of guys on Friday mornings who are going to start getting together, and we're just going to start studying the Bible together and praying together and encouraging each other. And he said, I know you're busy, so I don't want to take up your time. Well, I would love to keep doing that with him, but I am so thankful that he's moving along, and there's other guys he's going to be doing this with. And so I thought, thank you, Lord, for the way you have worked in his life. And then I got to thinking about the other 7 people that I had been praying for. And out of the total of 8, 2 of those guys joined my D group this year. And so we've been together for 8 months. And one of those guys who had not been in church at all last week took his family to church for the first time. And I was so thankful to hear that. Of the folks that I prayed for, 2 of them were baptized in the last year. I'm so thankful that God did that. Of the other 3 that are left, 1 of those I've had a few spiritual conversations with, but it's never developed much more than that. And 2 of them, I don't know. I don't have much personal contact with them, and I don't know. I trust that God is at work in their life. I just don't know how. So thankful to look and see how God is at work. I hope that you can look back and see at the folks that you prayed and fasted over, and pay attention to the way that God has been at work in their life over the last year. And so this year, we're going to get to pray for our whole city. I want to share with you the other churches who are involved in that. I have it written down here, but I've moved away from my notes, and now I can't find it. And I will forget if I don't. I'll forget a church if I don't read it out loud. So give me just a second here. Okay, it's us and Edgemere and Welch Street. It is First United Methodist Church and Floral Heights United Methodist Church. It is the Redeemer Church. It is One Life Church. It is First Baptist Church. And there is one that I'm missing. And I can't think of who it is right now, but there is one other church. There's 9 of us all together who are going to be praying. And Colonial, that's the other one that's involved with us, Colonial. So as I said, all together, folks in those churches, for 30 days, from February the 1st to March the 2nd, we're going to be praying and we're going to be fasting. And so I want to remind you of how that's going to work, because many of you did this last year. Some of you may not have. I want to remind you of how this is going to work. You're going to go out to the atrium, and there are packets that are available for you. In that Awaken packet, the first thing you're going to find is a folder. This is what the inside of that folder looks like. This is going to give you step-by-step directions on what you need to do starting today to start preparing for being ready to pray and fast on February the 1st. That folder is going to walk you through step-by-step. Inside that packet, you're also going to find a yellow book called Revival Starts Here. That is a book you need to begin reading in now. It's a book that's going to help you figure out what your fast is going to look like. We're going to talk more about this part of it next week, but there's a number of ways that you can fast. That book is going to help you. And so you need to start reading that now so that when February 1st starts, you're ready and you know how you're going to proceed from there. Another book that you're going to find in that packet is a blue book called Jesus Next Door. This is actually the book you're going to use for 30 days. I loved this book. This book was not cheesy. It wasn't light or fluffy. This was a really good book that had some great thoughts in it for you each day. The thing I loved about it the most was it gives you every day specific things to pray for the people that you're praying for. Because if you're like me, if you pray for something over and over, you kind of get in a rut and you say the same things over and over. And I finally just get to where I say, well, Lord, would you just bless them? Well, I want God to bless them, but I want to be more specific than that. And this book gives you very specific things to pray every single day for the people that you're praying for. Also in that packet, you're going to find a list. This list has 15 names on it. 15 households that are represented by name and by address in Wichita Falls that you, those will be the 15 names that you will be praying for and that you will be fasting over. So that's your prayer list. Okay, there's two different options for packets out there. If you participated last year and you still have your yellow book and your blue book, then there's a packet out there that costs $5 because there's no reason to make you purchase the books over. It will have your folder and it will have your list of names in it. And that'll help you move forward. If you did not participate last year or if you can't find your yellow and blue books, there are packets that are $10 and those have the books in them. That's the difference between the two packets. Don't want to make you buy the books over if you don't have to. But please stop by today and go ahead and purchase your packet. You'll need one per person, because we need each person praying over 15 names, not just your home praying over the same 15, but we need to spread it out. And so I hope that you will participate. Again, we're going to talk a little bit more about this next week. But I want to transition out and talk about one other thing that is connected with this. And I want to talk about disciple groups. I want to talk about what we call D groups. And I've got some folks who are going to help me out. If you'd go ahead and make your way up here and make your way to a stool and to a microphone, I'm going to keep talking for a few minutes and then we'll thank you. I think we're missing two of our folks. That is the way things happen right now in the world that we live in. So two of our folks this morning did not feel well or got called out and were not able to be here with us. But I'm thankful for these three who are going to share with us in just a moment. We've talked a lot about being disciples who are making disciples. And as we pray and as we fast over our city, if we do that believing, and I hope that we will do that believing, God is going to work and He's going to move in people's lives and He's going to draw people to Him and to His Son Jesus. We need to be ready for that, right? We don't need to just pray and then say, oh, well, I didn't know God was going to do anything. Now I don't know what to do next. We want to be ready for that. Well, the way we're going to be ready, the way we need to be ready, is we need to have folks who are ready to lead D groups. Because we need to be able to bring the folks that God may bring to us and that God may put in contact with us and people you've been praying for. We need to have a next step for them. And the next step will be to get them in a D group. But I also want you to be in a D group. Because I want you to grow as disciples as well. I want you to have a few folks that you are in a relationship with that's deeper than just surface conversations. I want you to have some folks that you are studying God's Word with and sharpening each other and encouraging and challenging each other. I want you to have folks that you are praying with and that are praying for you. when I ask on email just for some comments from people who are in our D groups, one of the most common themes was this idea that they loved their D group because it was what church should be. They said, church has got to be more than just sitting in the seat on a Sunday morning and then leaving. Church is about relationship. Church is about getting involved with people and sharing life together. And that's what's happening in our D group. So I want you, as a mature Christian, to be in a D group, because I want you to keep growing and maturing and becoming more and like Jesus. And I also want you, because what we say happens as disciples are people who are called by Jesus, who are being changed by Jesus, and who are joining the mission of Jesus. And so I want you to continue to be changed by Jesus. And I want you to join the mission of Jesus and make other disciples. And so a D group is 2 to 5 people of the same gender who meet weekly for 9 to 12 months to learn to trust and follow Jesus together. And one of the major goals of that is at the end of the 9 to 12 months that they would pair up and they would go and they would start more D groups and invite more people to be called by Jesus and to be changed by Jesus and to join the mission of Jesus. And I had asked Chad Nelson and Jimmy Schmidt, but they were not able at the last minute to be here this morning. But I'm thankful that Braden is here and that Paula is here and that Danica is here. And so I just thought it'd be great for you to hear from them a little bit about D groups rather than hear me talk about it. So Paula, since you're my lovely, beautiful wife, I'm going to put you on the spot. Somebody's got to start. What do you really enjoy? And then the others of you can join in. What do you really enjoy about your D group?
Well, I have a wonderful D group. There's 4 of us in the group, and we started last April. And I was trying to think about what sets my D group apart from other groups or people that I am committed to and trust with spiritual things that I share with them. But specifically my D group, the thing that stands out to me most is there's a commitment level there of consistency. Yeah. And although I do share things this morning, I texted someone some prayers to pray for me. I have other people, but I don't have another group that I consistently meet with week after week. And that's what I love. I love the sharing. I love the... you're committed to coming. So if you're having a bad day, you come anyway, and they just get to see you in that state. And it's a deeper, consistent commitment.
Yeah. Great. I like the consistency. Yeah. Any of you want to share what you love about your D group?
Okay, I'll go.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what I enjoy most about my D group would be just having different people from different backgrounds, people that I can look up to and kind of see how they're leading their life and set goals for how I want to lead my life and see how I can follow through with that.
Yeah, the intergenerational nature of it. Great.
Yeah, they both touched on what I was going to say. I was going to say I love the commitment factor because there's such a level of commitment to this. Signing up to the group, we actually all got together and signed these almost like covenants to meet on a weekly basis, and I think that's one of the things that I love so much about the D group is the level of commitment and the deep conversations. I mean, these are people that you don't know sometimes at the beginning to where they're just almost strangers, and then you grow to get this deep level of relationship with them, and they almost become like brothers. You know, it's more of a relationship than just a friendship. It becomes like almost like a brotherhood almost. Yeah. It's kind of weird, but I also just love how deep it gets so fast. Yeah. You really build that level of trust with them.
Excellent, excellent. One of the things I love about D groups is there's a rhythm to them, and the way our groups work is you meet for 3 weeks and you study together, and then on the last week of each month, you do something different. And 1 week, you just go out and eat together. And then you meet for 3 weeks and study, and the next end of the month, we go serve together in some way. And then we meet for 3 weeks, and at the end of the month, we go and just do something fun together. And I like the rhythm. That rhythm just keeps repeating. So would y'all just tell, what are some of the things that your group has done to serve together?
Me and Paula are in the same group, so I don't want to steal her answer. But my favorite thing that we've done is we've served at Faith Refuge. Is that right? Faith Refuge. In women's ministry and serving the food there. And I think that's a really great way to just touch people's lives and just be a light that God has called us to be. So I think that's a great way to, like, put myself out there and show that I am working towards sharing God with other people. So.
Braden, what about your group? What have y'all done to serve together?
So we've done a few things to serve together. We've served individual households to where people that have been sick are unable to do things physically. We've helped them serve that way. Simple things as yard work, removing things from their yard, or just fellowshipping with them. And then we've also reached this community that Tenth Abroad is placed in right here. Personally, we have had cookouts with them. We've gone through the neighborhood spreading the word. We've done a lot, not only in individual households, but also for the community.
Yeah. What about for fun? What'd you do? I won't ask you where you went and ate on your eating night, but what'd you go do on your fun time together?
You're making eye contact with me, so I think you're talking to me. I think every time we get together is a fun time. I just love conversating with people. You know this, Ken. We're in the same group. But what we've done for fun is we've gotten together at our households, and we've played board games, played video games, which was very interesting and fun. And we've also got together and played disc golf. I don't know if much of you know me, but I love playing disc golf. I'm not very good at it, but I love competition, and it's something that anyone can pick up and play. And I really saw that because people in our group have never picked up a disc and have thrown it before, and they excelled at it.
So when he says that, he knows that because he saw people who don't know how to play, he's talking about me.
And he was really good.
What about y'all, Paula? What did you do for a fun time?
I remember we went to one of the downtown art walks together and just kind of walked around downtown. That was super fun. I've made Ken go with me to that before, and he doesn't love it, so I was happy to have some girls to jump in with. Help me think. I'm agreeing with Braden. I feel like every time we get together is fun. What else have we done as our fun night?
Well, we usually meet at Frank and Joe's every week, and so just getting coffee together is really fun. Going out to eat, we've been to Parkway, and just having time to be in a community that is centered on God. I think it's hard to get caught up in, like, worldly things because that's where we are most of the time. We're in environments where people are so focused on themselves and meeting expectations. And so being just in a group surrounded by people that want to please God is just great. So
yeah. I'll add one more because I really like this time. But this was a particularly busy time for all of us. And as a group, we just decided that everybody would come out to the farm and just watch the sunset together. That was our fun. That was our Sabbath time, just to be together and not have an agenda. So just being together is fun for us.
Yeah. Well, okay, last thing. What would you say to the folks in this room as to why they need to be in a D group?
I'll start. I think going back to the just having a group that is focused on God. It's really hard to find those, especially as a college student. I feel like I have Mustangs for Christ, and that's a great space to be. But throughout the week, I think it's important to find as many things as you can that can just keep you on track with your relationship with God. And also, I just think it's important to find those groups of people and make those connections with people, because, like, these are the connections that you're going to keep throughout your life. Like, I have classes with people, and I'll probably see them, like, until I graduate, but having the relationships and building the relationships with people at church and in groups like Mustangs for Christ is just really important.
I think I would add to that, just joining into a group, knowing that you have something to give, whether, you know, you've been walking with the Lord for years, decades, or whether you're just exploring what it means to follow Christ. You know, you may think if you're kind of the more mature Christian that you're going to be the one giving to the group, and if you're the one that's exploring Christ that you're going to be the one just taking everything. But the truth is that every part of the group, every person in the group has something important to give, and I feel like I've received so much from the people in my group. It's just amazing. So we need all kinds of people, people in all parts of or walks of their faith to be a part of groups.
You want to add anything? Okay. All right. Would you show these folks your appreciation? Thank y'all very much. As I said earlier, we want to have some folks trained and ready to lead D groups after our season of prayer and fasting for our city. We want to bring folks from our city into these. We want to bring each other into these. And so we're going to do a D group training for 5 Sunday nights during February and March while Awaken is going on. And I would really love to see some of you at that training and ready and getting prepared to lead other folks here and folks in our city as they learn to trust and follow Jesus. That's what this is about. And so if you think you would like to be a part of that training, I want to get you to just take one of the cards off the seat in front of you. On the back of it, write D group training and write your name and put that in one of the contribution boxes as you leave. This won't be your only time to sign up, but I would love for you to go ahead and sign up and let me know. Yeah, I want to get trained. I want to know more about these D groups. I want to be a part of that. And so please do that. Fill out one of those cards. Just write D group and write your name on it, and we'll get that taken care of. And also, I hope that many, many of you will take seriously just growing yourself and deepening your relationship with a few other people and with the Lord, and be a part of one of our D groups. When some of these trained leaders in March come and say, hey, would you join my D group? I hope you'll be ready to say, yeah, I'm going to do that. I want to do that. Would you pray with me? And then we'll finish our time together. Father, thank you so much for the way that you have been at work in our lives, the way that you have been at work in the lives of people we love about, that we love and care about. Father, thank you for saving us. Thank you for rescuing us. Because before we knew you, every one of us was lost. Thank you for loving us and caring about us, for providing for our needs, for encouraging us, for building us up. Father, thank you for what you do for us, for showing us so much grace and love and mercy. And I pray, God, that you would call us to share that with each other and with other people who are lost. Father, I pray for a strong commitment among this church to pray and to fast for 30 days for every person in this city. I pray that we would be disciples, that we personally would be following Jesus and being changed by Jesus and being on mission with Jesus. And I pray that we would make more disciples, and that more of your lost children would be found and would be saved. Thank you for doing this for us and using us to do this for others. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.